the VCA Voice podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marie Curl. Our goal with the VCA Voice is to showcase how VCA Animal Hospitals is taking care of the future of veterinary medicine. We'll bring our purpose to life through meaningful conversations about care, our culture, and the communities we serve. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Rachel Turner. Rachel is a certified veterinary technician and is the manager of the VCA Virtual Care Services. Rachel, welcome. It's great to have you on the episode today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. So let's jump in and share with me, if you don't mind, your journey in veterinary medicine.
Sure. So it was a bit of a windy one. I got out of college. I have a degree in marine biology that I pursued and finished, obviously, and got my bachelor's. But when I got out, I wasn't really quite sure where to go, what to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents were like, well, you have to do something. So I started looking around.
As parents do.
Yes, yes. You're not just going to live here. They said you have to do something. So I started looking around, and the local veterinarian that we had always taken our pets to was hiring for part-time vet tech. And it said no experience needed. I said, okay, they'll train you. So I'll just check it out. Uh-huh. That was one of the things that I interviewed for. And I said, I'm going to just give this a try. So I did. I got the job. And I was one of those technicians that was trained on the job.
Okay.
The veterinarian, the owner, taught me everything from how to handle clients to all of the surgery and anesthesia and all the technician things, as I say. And I fell in love with it. So I never went into the marine biology field.
Okay.
But all of my biology and science background really came into play. I did a brief stint of teaching. I did not want to fully leave the veterinary field, so I didn't. I still worked at nights and weekends and summer vacations. Mm-hmm. So I taught elementary ed and sixth grade science and math for a little while.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. But it wasn't really my calling. I liked the kids and I liked teaching, but I didn't feel it was my calling. So I left and went back to the veterinary field full time, and that was the end of it. I've been in there since.
Excellent. So was joining the virtual care team your first interaction with VCA, or were you in a VCA hospital before?
It was my first interaction with VCA. Where I worked and lived was in Massachusetts. So we referred to South Shore Weymouth all the time. So I was familiar with VCA.
Okay.
But I didn't work for them before.
Well, you've been with the virtual care team since it's began. How did you first learn about the position and about the team? And then how did you come to be in your current role?
So I was working here in Rhode Island at a hospital during COVID. And we all know how stressful that was for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
I have two young boys that also were being thrown in the middle of no school, yes school, homeschool. and it was quite the juggle. So I was looking for something else. I was looking for something more as well to challenge me a little bit. I had been in the field for 23 years at that point. So I really was looking for something a little different. But I didn't want to leave, like another step.
Yep.
So I started looking on Indeed.
Okay.
And this virtual care technician post came up, and I said, what in the world is that? So I started to read, and I couldn't believe it at first. But then, honestly, you just asked about VCA. The reason why I knew it was legitimate was because it was VCA. I knew the company.
Okay.
So right. I sent my resume in, and Ryan Barba emailed me back the same day and said, can we have an interview? So I interviewed with him, and I was hired to be part of the team.
Oh, wonderful. What services does the virtual care team offer?
We offer triage mostly. We do a multitude of things for VCA clients. They basically come to us when they need to know what to do for their pet.
Okay.
I phrase it to everybody on my team or anybody that asks that we are trying to tell the client what they need to do next. We're not trying to tell the client what the dog or cat has, what's okay. actually going on, because we can't diagnose, right? That's one of the things we can't do.
That's a great perspective.
Right. So I always say, you know, we're looking to help this client find out what the next step is. So we triage the situation. We can advise them on what our recommendation will be is you need to either go to your veterinarian or the ER. Sometimes we're just educating the client. We get questions about, you know, what is kennel cough? You know, their dog may not have it, but maybe their neighbor's dog has it and they're wondering what they need to do for their pet.
Right.
A lot of times we're doing some hand-holding and some listening. We get some anxious owners that just need to be told, it's okay, and here's what you're going to do next. That's a big part of what we do.
So you joined the team. Were you a manager when you joined the team? Was that position there, or did that team grow into the management position and you joined that?
Yeah. So when I joined, I was part of the team that was on chat. And so as the team grew, within a few months, I was promoted to be a supervisor. And then it grew even more from there. A few months later, we realized that we needed to set up a different kind of leadership system for the team because of the size, mm-hmm. and we were hiring more technicians. So I was promoted to manager, which is a position I have now. And then from there, we promoted supervisors to work under me to help manage the team. So I've been in this role, I think, a little over 2 years.
And the chat that we're talking about is the VCA Live chat, which is part of the virtual care services within VCA, correct?
Correct.
How is that accessed and who can take advantage of that service?
So any VCA client has the opportunity to download the MyVCA app.
Okay.
And they should. They should.
It's an amazing app.
It's an amazing app, if we can say that ourselves. They can access a lot of information about their pet, but they also have access to a live chat team 24/7, 365 days a year. So anytime they have a question about their pet, they can come on to live chat and start a chat with one of the technicians. For the most part, they have access to their vaccine records and some of the treatment plans, and they can get some lab results on there as well. They can also schedule appointments, which is really, really nice. They can schedule appointments from the app.
What are some of the common reasons? I know you mentioned a couple earlier, but give me some of the common reasons that a client would start a text with the live chat team.
So our number one, and it has always been number one, is gastrointestinal.
Of course.
You know, we get a lot of questions about vomiting and diarrhea issues, obviously. Sometimes it's diet indiscretion. Sometimes it's more than that. Foreign bodies, a lot of foreign body and toxin texts. We also get some of our other ones are ophthalmology, so a lot of eye issues, whether it be severe or not. Sometimes it's cherry eye, and sometimes it's looking like just a, you know, an irritation. We also get a lot of just kind of acute injury chats, limping or, you know, non-weight bearing, lacerations, things like that, dog fights. We get a lot about that. So we kind of triage the situation and find out what they need to do next.
In veterinary medicine, there's so many opportunities for credentialed veterinary technicians. And this team is 100% credentialed veterinary technicians, correct?
Correct.
I'm assuming that not everybody is a great fit for this type of work as a technician. So what qualities do you look for in someone who you think would be a great fit for the team?
When I'm looking at resumes or hiring, a lot of it is the amount of experience. So a new technician straight out of school would not be somebody that I would consider for this position because they haven't had the exposure. They need to have the exposure in the clinic setting to know how to triage and what to look for, kind of guide them on what's going on. We're relying 100% on what the client tells us. We don't have access to medical records to be able to see, you know, any of the background. So we're really relying on our thinking and our question asking skills and then relying on what the client tells us. So if somebody that's fresh out of school would be, it would be a little tough for them, I think, without having the exposure firsthand. So I look for that. The other thing I look for is somebody that is pretty well-rounded, meaning they've got some, you know, general practice, maybe some specialty or emergency, but also a lot of client experience. They need to have been client facing. Client facing is a big one. We've had a few technicians in the past that are wonderful technicians, wonderful people, very, very talented, but they've been in the ICU, you know, for a long time and weren't client facing. And they had a hard time with the communicating by chat, number one. And number two, kind of remembering the client service piece of our job. So I look for that as well. So they have to have the exposure at the clinic level, but they also have to be client facing people at the clinic as well. It really makes a big difference.
Now, Rachel, you've mentioned the word triage a few times. And just in case we have listeners who don't understand that word, explain that a little bit for me. What does it mean when you triage something?
So we're assessing the situation. It's really that simple sounding, but it's asking a series of questions to get the big picture of what might be going on.
Okay.
And it's in a, obviously in the medical realm, right? So okay. When a technician comes across a chat and the client states a question, we go off of what they're starting with first and then dive in. And the technicians kind of go through it in the same way each time, where they'll start with the client's specific question and then use their tech skills and their tech brain to kind of ask questions to narrow it down to what they think it could be.
And tech means technician and not technology skills.
Yes, technician, sorry.
There's both aspects here. So,
technician
so
skills.
They're veterinary technician skills. Okay.
Yes, they're veterinary technician skills, definitely. And it's, so they try to narrow down, you know, what is actually going on. And then we always check with how the overall health is. We always ask, are they, you know, eating and drinking? How's their behavior? How's their energy level? So it kind of goes through step by step to kind of get the big picture of what might be going on. And that helps the technician tell the client what needs to happen next.
I think there's also some confusion among the general public of what is a credentialed veterinary technician. And I think the best analogy is that that would be the equivalent of a registered nurse in human healthcare. So effectively, this service is mirroring a human nurse line for information. Is that fair to say?
It is. It's just on a chat platform.
Yep.
We are able to receive pictures and small short videos from clients, which can really be helpful for assessing the situation or how urgent something might be. But yeah, it's the equivalent of that. Everybody on the team, if they did not go to school specifically for becoming a veterinary technician, like I did not go to school for this, but I did take the test and pass the BTNE, obviously. Okay. But everybody on the team has done that.
So it seems like there's a ton of different questions that are coming in. And really, when a client joins the chat, it could really be anything that they want to talk about. So what are some of the resources that are available for your team to help answer those questions and help to determine what is the next thing that needs to happen?
So we have this wonderful, wonderful database called Knowledge Base that you're familiar with, of course, but that was put together specifically for live chat. Because we are in kind of a different situation where we are removed from being able to see the pet, being able to touch the pet, smell what's going on as soon as you walk in the room, all of those things. So we really need something kind of a little more specific to what we do and how we're triaging. And this database has grown tenfold since the start. We actually have a wish list for the team, and they put any topic that they feel that they want to have on there or that they feel that they're getting a lot of chats about, because we are spread out. The team is all completely remote and spread out across the country, and we're getting chats from across the country, including Hawaii and Alaska and Canada.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you know, I'm in the Northeast. We don't have foxtails like they do in California. And I bring that up because that was my first chat and I didn't know what a foxtail was.
Of course it was. It is just like when you start practicing veterinary medicine, what comes in the door the first time, you'll have no idea.
Yep, exactly. And so foxtails are in Knowledge Base. Basically we have groupings and categories in Knowledge Base, and you can go in and find out FAQs. So different things to ask the client if you're not 100% familiar, the different things to look at, concerns that you want to ask about. We also have something called decision support, which is really, really key. It's a triage chart. You look up the symptoms from what you're getting from the client and plug it into if it's an emergency, if it should be seen same day, within a couple days, or if it's a continue to monitor kind of situation.
Okay.
So the client, the technicians will use that a lot to either back up what they're thinking or if they're not as familiar with the situation. And everything that's on Knowledge Base has been cleared by medical operations. So it's really nice to have that backup for the team. The other category is client education. So we have a lot of links that we can give to clients so they can read up on something, whatever they're coming to discuss, something that they can follow up with.
So your team is supervised by a veterinarian, Dr. Maniscalco. When did she join and how is that supervision going?
She started right at the beginning. It was March of 2021. We were in training. The technicians were in training. She came on board.
Yep.
And she was the manager at the time and now is the director of virtual care services. So she oversees everything virtual care. She's amazing. She's taught mm-hmm. me everything I know. And she oversees everything from the top down. She relies on myself and the rest of the leadership team to manage the day to day. But anything medically relevant has to go through her at all times.
Excellent. So she provides your veterinary oversight for your technician team.
Correct.
Wonderful. So when clients join the chat, it's not a chat bot they're talking to. It actually is a live person.
We do have some bots that will handle some of the administrative questions we get from Care Club, some Care Club questions and some things like that. But they always have the opportunity to come to us if they don't get their answer. But any questions that are medical come straight to us.
Okay. So as your team is working with clients and they provide guidance or direction, let's say this pet needs to go to the emergency room now, or you should schedule an appointment with your veterinarian within the next day or two, whatever that direction should be. Do you have an idea how frequently clients follow through with that?
So we don't have a way to track an ER visit because they're not necessarily going to a VCA ER.
Right.
So we don't have an idea of that. But when we do recommend that they book an appointment with their veterinarian, we do have metrics on that. And it's about 75% of the clients that come on chat book an appointment within 48 hours.
What is the total number of chats, or let me say an average number of chats per month that your team handles?
We average about 15,000.
Wow.
Give or take, depending on the time of year. The summer, this past summer, we hit our all-time high of 17,000 and change in August. And this winter, usually January and February are a little bit slower, just like in the hospitals. But we actually have not dipped down very far this year.
Wow.
Last year, we were down around the 12 to 13,000 mark for January and February. January, we were at 15,000 this year. And February, I just got the numbers, we're at 14,700.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're still a little more consistent this year through the winter months.
And this is 24 hours, right?
It's 24 hours.
Wow. And is it busy consistently over a 24-hour period, or are there peak hours?
Our peak hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific. They pick up significantly between those periods. And it was really surprising to me when I came into the leadership roles and started looking at all of these, that the highest volume times are when the clinics are open. And to me, that was always pretty funny.
Right.
But it followed the purpose of live chat to take a lot of the maybe unnecessary calls from the hospitals and let us kind of filter it, right? And see if the client really needed to actually call their hospital. During COVID, the phone lines were, it was insane what was going on. So it was a little surprising to me, but at the same note, it did what it was supposed to do.
So of the number of chats that your team handles, what is the percentage of those who receive a direction to go to ER versus their GP? And do you have chats where the client may be worried about something that is a legitimate question, but it's not a big deal knowing more information about dogs and cats?
The highest percentage is for us to send them to their veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And then next is the ER visits.
Okay.
Because we're 24/7, we do send some things to the ER because if it's the middle of the night and they can't really wait till their veterinarian's open. So that kind of skews it a little bit depending, but most of the time we're sending them to their primary hospital when we're recommending a visit. And then the ER is obviously something that we triage very carefully. We don't like to send things unnecessarily. If we feel that it's something that needs to be seen as an ER visit, then that's the recommendation we make. And so we'll base our recommendation off of what we are gaining from the triage and from the questions. We do have a lot of chats where people are downplaying the situation and we triage, and people will think what comes to mind is a blocked cat.
Yes.
You know, they don't know what they don't know. It's one of those situations. Unless you've actually had a cat that has a urinary blockage, you don't necessarily know what to look for.
They look like lots of different things, honestly.
Right. So that is something that the client can come on just saying, hey, he's been urinating, going in and out of the box, and he's not doing anything. I don't know what's wrong with him. And obviously that sets off alarm bells for the vet techs.
So does your team ever have clients that follow up with them to let them know what happened?
Every once in a while. And the team loves it because it's it's one of the things that all of the new hires struggle with unless they were an ER technician.
Right.
I find ER technicians are used to, you see a patient once, sometimes a repeat offender, you know, but most of the time, once they leave, then they go off. And sometimes you can get them on for a follow-up, but most of the follow-up goes to their primary.
Right.
So ER technicians are pretty used to that. So they transition into that aspect of live chat well. I was not an ER technician when I came on board. I was a general practice and surgery girl. So that was hard for me. That was one of the things.
I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right that that follow up and knowing what happened is challenging.
It's a challenging piece. You need to be able to let go of the fact that you're not going to know. And you also have to trust in your recommendation and realize that it's on the client to follow it.
Yeah.
And that can be hard to adjust to. But everybody does eventually. It just takes some time. But we do have clients that will come back and thank us. And sometimes they don't get the same technician, but we'll pass the message along. So somebody will come back and say, hey, I spoke with so-and-so yesterday and I wanted to let you know what happened. Or thank you so much. They'll come back and say, thank you. My favorite is at the end of the chat, they'll send a picture of the pet and say, you know, Fluffy says thank you, because we don't get to see the pets most of the time.
Oh, that's true. Wonderful.
And the pictures and videos we get are not usually very pleasant. So, because we're looking at something that's not so nice and that the clients are worried about. So when we get a client that does that at the end of the chat, it's really fulfilling.
So how does the pet's veterinarian know what was discussed in the chat?
So within 24 hours of us resolving the chat, which means that we have closed the chat, it's done. It starts to filter into Woofware, which is VCA's medical record system. And even the pictures and video go with it. And whoever the hospital has set up for this, sometimes it differs, but there's a communication task that comes up for whoever they're being sent to in the hospital. Sometimes it's the last veterinarian that saw them. Sometimes they have it set up for the hospital manager or somebody else. But there's a communication task that comes up with an email saying that you have a new chat transcript.
Okay.
Then they go into the medical record and see the entire conversation along with the pictures and video from start to finish.
Oh, so then that becomes a part of the permanent medical record.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And they can follow up if needed.
Yep. So is there a quality control measure for the chat and how does that work?
Yes. Yeah, so we have the supervisors that work under me are responsible for certain people on the team. We call them pods. And they do a lot of that. That is one of the biggest parts of their job is to kind of screen and go through chats of the people that are on their pod. They meet with their pod people biweekly. So they are meeting with them pretty consistently to go over anything, any questions or anything that they find that needs tweaking or coaching or, you know, to kind of go over again. So that's kind of more of an informal audit, I call it. And then quarterly, we do a really big audit where the team gets audited randomly. We pull chats and we also include the RTDs to help us evaluate. So we like to have some outside eyes on the situation. So I have a handful of the RTDs that help me with that. And then the supervisors and myself also evaluate. And then we also have a veterinarian evaluate. So each of the technicians have three evaluators for the chats that we pull for that quarterly.
So I assume that you may have a few favorite chats out there. And if you do, can you share those and explain why they're favorites?
The ones that I enjoyed the most were the ones that the clients were happy at the end, just to know what was going on. And it didn't matter what I was recommending. It was just somebody that would say, you know, thank you so much for being here at, you know, midnight or whatever it was. Because when I first started, I did have one of the overnight shifts, which is a tricky business. But I really liked when clients sent the pictures at the end. I really liked when you could really pick apart and triage well enough to get a really good picture of what was going on. My favorite ones were when the client would come on really not knowing what was going on. Some chats go for quite a bit. And there were a few where I remember going lots of questions, 45 minutes later. Some chats are, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Some of them go a little bit longer. It really depends on what it is. But the most fulfilling for me were those that were real puzzles. And I could get to the bottom of it enough to know what they needed to do next. And the clients were really thankful that we were there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm thankful that you're there too. So we're nearing the end of our time together. And in closing, what advice would you have for a credentialed veterinary technician who's considering joining the live chat team or doing this type of work?
I would say to get as much experience as you can with as many different things as you can, so you have the exposure. and to make sure that you also have the exposure with clients. Talking with clients, phone calls, emails, face-to-face, all of it helps. And I would also say, make sure that you are at that point in your career, if you wanted to do this full-time, that you're ready to leave clinical. It's very different because you don't have that contact right with the pets or the people. And so it's very different. And I do have some people on my team that do both. They work for me part-time and they work part-time in a clinic, and that's what makes them happy. And that's great. But if you were going to work from home doing this full time, it's great because you still use all your technician skills. Mm-hmm. You're still part of a team. We're a really close-knit team, even though we're spread out everywhere. But you have to be ready to leave the clinical setting. That's a big piece.
Well, that's an excellent point. And Rachel, it's just been a joy to speak with you and get to learn a little bit more both about your background and about the VCA Live Chat team and virtual care services. And I truly appreciate what you do every day and how you brought this team together. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. Don't forget to leave a review to let us know your thoughts and share the episode with friends. Follow VCA Animal Hospitals on social media at LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more inspiring stories, visit our website at vcavoice.com.